Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
Yes, well, we are back for another massive edition of the Triple M footy news update. My name is Tom Beers. Filling in again for Rudy, I'm joined as ever by Tommy Brown. Plenty happening, Tommy.
Good morning, Tommy. I was chasing this Hawthorn story yesterday morning, and boy, did it develop into a huge story with competition-wide implications. Yesterday afternoon, I was in the briefing. I'll discuss the briefing shortly.
But before we get stuck into all the big talking points from yesterday, we've got a little bit of breaking news on crowd increases this week.
Some news off the top this morning in terms of the crowds. The Victorian government's just announced 75% capacity this weekend at outdoor stadiums, up to 40,000 people. Now, I think the maximum crowd we had last weekend at the G was around 18,000. But let's hope that signalling mechanism get some spectators back to the footy this weekend. It's obviously going to be easier to get tickets. The Victorian government just announcing capacity up to 40,000 this weekend, or 75%, but 40,000 maximum, which will apply to certainly the MCG.
Well, that's good news for fans, and hopefully we can get plenty of people packing out the stadiums this weekend. Well, as you said, the big talking point is Hawthorn, their succession plan, whether they want to call it that or not. It absolutely is now. Sam Mitchell to take over from Clarko at the end of 2022, so one more year to run. Fill us in on what happened yesterday. You were in the thick of it.
Well, I think the first question this morning I want to cover is, will this arrangement work? Obviously, Ruse and Longmire did it at Sydney. Mm-hmm. Buckley and Malthouse did it at Collingwood, which arguably cost them a flag. Ruse and Goodwin did it at Melbourne, but remember, Ruse was there for that specific purpose. Yeah. They tend not to work, these types of arrangements. They get very, very complicated. Clarko is fiercely loyal, particularly to his players. He's rejected big offers before. He won't want to leave Hawthorn languishing down the bottom of the ladder. And if there's anyone that can pull it off, you'd think Clarko could. But as Lee Matthews said last night on, I think it was 3AW, Clarko's always had this moral obligation towards Hawthorn.
Yeah.
He sort of is the club. He personifies the club.
He has been for the last 20 years.
Kanga Kennedy, the whole thing. He embodies everything about Hawthorn. And he's now going to realise, post his board decision, that this loyalty is a two-way street. And he might, you know, Hawthorn has chosen to go off in another direction. And Clarko will be thinking to himself this morning, does that mean I need to?
Yeah.
And it was written up in The Age this morning that the longest period in your employment life is that period between giving notice and leaving an organisation.
Yeah.
And Clarko's got now 18 months of that. It's like if you were replaced
time,
this morning at the end of next year for another technical guy to come on board, or I was replaced at Channel 7, how would you feel in the next 18 months?
Yeah.
It would be a strange feeling. So Clarko will be going through all those things at the moment. Having said that, he must have considered everything. And in terms of the split, I think Clarko made it quite clear yesterday that he'll coach out the period until the end of next year, and Sam Mitchell will stay at Box Hill as the coach and also oversee the recruiting. So they've already sat down and worked out these arrangements. I personally can't see it working. I just think it sounds terribly complicated. But if there's any club that can pull it off, it's Hawthorn. And for an insight into this situation, the biggest question in my mind, Tommy, was whether Alistair Clarkson was sacked. He was, in a sense. His contract wasn't renewed beyond next year. He initiated talks with the board. They came back to him last Wednesday and said, nah, we've decided at the end of 2022, you'll coach out this contract. We're not going to renew it. And Sam Mitchell's our coach.
So how long do you think, if they had have offered him a contract to say, oh, what do you reckon? Do you think, like, we want you to rebuild this club. Here's another 5 years. Do you think he would have taken that and tried to rebuild him again?
I personally think he may have. He didn't answer that direct question.
Yeah,
so
okay.
We only got one question
post,
and I was actually going to ask that question. So we'll ask him in his weekly press conference that this week.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of, he did explain that he's got these passions in his life, including his family, his fitness, his farm. He called them the five Fs.
Yep.
And I presume fun was one of them. And he has sort of neglected those because he's been so committed to Hawthorn. So on one hand, he always sat down with his wife, Karen, and discussed the fact that at the end of next year, with his contract, marked the final year of his youngest doing year 12 and finishing off schooling. So in one sense, you think Clarko does want a bit of a rest or a bit of a respite in some shape or form. But on the other, he's a competitor, he's a coach. And he's an angry little man. He might have a point to
bit
prove.
Bit of pride, yeah.
So it's an intriguing situation.
And he's highly in demand, which is the other thing as well. Like, other clubs would be jumping out of their skin to get there. So.
But for an insight into this situation, I think it was summed up yesterday in one grab from Jeff Kennett, where he said that, I'm not a liniment sniffer. I'm not into personalities. I don't get enamoured by footballers or watching them on the massage table. I'm here for governance. Clarko's been here for 18 years. That's long enough in anyone's book. I'm not extending him out for 23, 28 years. Mm-hmm. We're now on a 5 to 10 year rebuild. That was an admission, remember, Clarko?
Yep.
Kennett lately has been saying, oh, the silverware is coming in 2 to 3 years. I mean, that's just a load of codswallop, basically.
You do love your Kennett impersonation.
I do. I admit now we're 5 to 10 years off, he said yesterday. And I could do it all morning. I won't. I'll stick to myself. And it's hard enough as it is.
Yeah.
So it's really an insight into Kennett's commitment towards corporate governance.
So where does this leave? Other clubs would be circling, no doubt, which this makes it awkward for Collingwood if he does stick to his contract, because Collingwood are obviously looking for a coach next year and are seeking candidates now. But clubs like Carlton, Gold Coast,
so I want to start with
kind of in the wings.
Well, will Clarko be Hawthorn next year? Collingwood, I don't think he's keen on Collingwood at the moment. Let's look at their list. It looks like a long way off. It looks like Collingwood, I'm guessing, 3, 5, 6, 7 years off, you know, a potential tilt at a premiership. Graham Wright, the football manager, very close with Alistair Clarkson.
Yep.
I don't think they're the best of mates these days. Having said that, Wright is very professional. And if he thinks that Clarko is the best option, then of course he'd make that work. You could only imagine the Collingwood board would be, I'm hypothesising, you'd think, in light of the political instability, that if they could get Clarko, that'd be a win for them. So you'd think they'd be looking at this as an option. But I think Clarko would be potentially concerned by that situation at Collingwood. Let's move on to Carlton. Carlton sacked Bolton. Clarko's very good friends with Bolton.
Mm-hmm.
Clarko's very loyal. I don't think he'd like the treatment of Bolton. So if Clarko went to Carlton, I think that he would probably want to take Bolton with him.
Has enough water gone under the bridge, though, there, where they sack Bolton, they've had a new coach a couple of years in between, and then
the other thing with Carlton reset. Is two factors. Their list is arguably very good. They've recontracted the main part of it long term. And also, my understanding is that Luke Sayers, the incoming president, is desperate on Alistair Clarkson, really keen on Alistair Clarkson. Now, Carlton sources tell me overnight they haven't spoken to any alternative coaches, and they will wait until the end of this review process. I suspect that someone at some level of Carlton would have informally spoken to James Henderson, who's Clarko's manager. Now, that's adding 2 and 2 and getting 5, but I think there'd be
just to see how gettable he is.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that Luke Sayers, who's got 3 years to run on his term, so he'll be incoming president for 3 years.
Yep.
He does want success. He does want to win games. He's basically chairing this review, and he's very, very keen on Alistair Clarkson. If Alistair Clarkson wanted to go to Carlton, David Teague is finished. It's as clear cut as that.
It'll be straight out.
Having said that, I don't think Clarko would be that comfortable with that situation, so he'd insist they do the review first.
Yep.
So that's an intriguing one with Carlton.
Well, they'd be silly not to do their review anyway after how public it's been.
Correct.
Yeah.
So they've got it. They're absolutely committed to their review. There's no issues there. The other, of course, debating point is whether the Suns and the AFL could initiate a move for Clarko to go and rescue this franchise up there. But a broader discussion point on that, it actually would be better for the AFL and the finances for Clarko to get Collingwood up and
get
about.
Get a big club right back up the top Suns. Again, yeah.
And plus, Clarko's got his youngest in year 12 next year, so I don't think he'd move yet.
Yeah, that's an interesting layer to that whole dynamic, isn't it?
But Tommy, this has got implications, which I want to talk on this podcast for other clubs.
Yeah.
Clarko is the best coach in the history of modern football. Mm-hmm. Arguably the best coach in the history of football. Now, there's others, but he's in the mix.
He's right at the top of the tree.
So any board with any concern over their coach at any club would have to be scratching their heads and going, what does life look like with Alistair Clarkson?
Yeah.
And this is the interesting thing. There is precedent for this. Remember, Fremantle sacked Mark Harvey to get Ross Lyon. Now, I'm not suggesting Geelong would do it. Chris Scott's an unbelievable coach, potentially on the verge of a flag. He's out of contract at the end of next year. So this might change Geelong's thinking long term.
Mm.
Melbourne, they've just lost a couple of games lately. They've got a very good list. I hope they go on to win games and win the flag, just for full transparency. I love Melbourne. They're going beautifully. Good luck to them and their supporters. But if they sort of march on now towards the finals, you know, lose the first final, finish 5th or 8th, why wouldn't the Melbourne board think about
this? Try and look at it, yeah.
You know, it has implications for a whole bunch of other clubs simply because he's the best coach out there.
Yeah. There'd be some nervous senior coaches at the moment.
100% there would be.
They'd be shaking in their boots just knowing that he's now on the loose and that any slip up, you could be on your way. I'll just backtrack slightly to the Magpies. So Collingwood would be right up. They'd be right into him, you'd imagine. But getting how gettable he is for next year and how appealing Collingwood is, that's a different story.
That's a story for Collingwood. And there's also a background story at Collingwood at the moment where they have got Mark Williams on a short list. You've got Graham Wright, the football manager, who was keen on Sam Mitchell. That's obviously gone off the rails. They were due to meet with Mitchell this week.
Did Collingwood force Hawthorne's hand?
Yes. Collingwood played a major role, and that was discussed yesterday by Hawthorne, in this, because they were basically ready to move on, in a sense, ready to move on Mitchell.
Yeah.
And that's been taken out of their hands. And a couple of their selection panel are keen on Mark Williams, which is a brave and bold idea.
Been out of senior coaching for quite a while now.
Unbelievable with young people, but I wouldn't describe
good
him
man
as
manager,
a ratty.
But he might not
great
have the
person.
X's and O's anymore.
Correct. So that's an issue for Collingwood. And then, of course, other directors you'd think would be desperate to get in Clarko because there is instability at Collingwood. The full transparency on that. And you'd think they'd be desperate to get Clarko. Having said that, a lot of the factors at Collingwood at the moment, I'm sure, would put off Clarko. And
for sure.
Jeff Kennett had a go at Collingwood yesterday in the press conference. Said, "Oh, why would you want to go to Collingwood? There's better clubs."
Love it.
Now, I don't agree with that, but that's what he said. I'm just paraphrasing Jeff.
And, of course, what you brought to us on Monday about Brad Scott potentially taking Steve Hocking's job at the AFL takes him out of the running for the Collingwood job as well, who have approached Scott.
Yes, so if Brad Scott, I think Brad Scott will take up the vacancy in Steve Hocking as the football boss at the AFL. The only thing that could affect that is if he was offered the Collingwood job. So he's a bit of a dark horse still in all that. But I think he'll definitely
What's the likelihood of him taking the Collingwood job, though, now that he'd have got an AFL House seat?
He's got a 5 to 10 year job at AFL House on around $1 million a year, calling all the shots on football. It's better than senior coaching, in my opinion.
You'd think so.
Yeah. So it hasn't got the public profile of senior. If you're into that, not that he would be. I mean, it hasn't got sort of quite the rush of coaching, but it's a much more, I think it's a better job.
Yeah, well, as ever, we're going to be bringing up who's going to take over the reins at Collingwood, you'd imagine. It'll probably come up every episode
but
between
Collingwood
now
process
and the end
now
of the season.
The Collingwood process now is choppy. There's no doubt about that. Yeah. They've missed out on Mitchell. There's a little push in some factions or sections to go after Mark Williams, which is a controversial idea. Might be a good one, might be a bad one. I've got no idea.
Yeah.
And you've got probably Graham Wright looking at guys like Adam Uze or someone younger and younger. So it's
big call to have a crack at an untried club, untried coach at a big club like that as well.
But this is where the interests at the moment, Tommy, at Collingwood are different. The board will want to get probably a big name because they need a sort of a public face of what's going on because the CEO and the president certainly don't, so they don't sort of carry the media can. But it might be in Collingwood's best interest to go and get a younger coach and set themselves up for four to eight years away.
Yeah, long
so it's a, I think it's an incredibly complex situation.
We'll watch this space, that's for sure. Moving away from the coaching landscape, trade Wednesdays as ever. Darcy Parrish signing yesterday.
Yeah, for 2 years, which is good news for the Bombers.
So he's going nowhere.
He's going nowhere. Yep. It's a great saying. He's going nowhere. It's a bit of a saying in that footy these days, isn't it? And a player for life.
Yeah.
You can predict if you're going to retire when you're 29 or 34.
Exactly, yeah.
The other one, of course, is Josh Kelly. It was reported this week that Essendon fell out of that race. I don't think the Bombers, to be honest, were ever really in the race for Josh Kelly in a substantive sense because they've got a payment structure at the moment that sees Zach Merritt, the top paid player, up around 850 or 900.
Yeah.
They're not going to throw that out for Kelly, who did have groin issues last year. Now he's in unbelievable
playing well
form
at the moment. Yeah.
They're not about to go on Josh to get Josh out of this Giants deal will take 8 times 1.05 million plus.
Right.
The Bombers were never in the
market for that.
The biggest trade story at the moment is the collective bargaining agreement and the salary cap. The crowds and the uncertainty around the spectators and the club's finances have delayed those CBA negotiations. The extension is the AFL doesn't know yet and hasn't negotiated the salary cap for next year and any changes, which is really stalling a lot of trade talks.
Right. Just before we wrap up, Damien Hardwick's media ban?
Yeah, it's been reported this week that Hardwick's not speaking to 3AW. I'm not going to interfere in the relationship between Caroline Wilson and Richmond and 3AW. It's not for me to say, but I'm awfully uncomfortable about media bans because as soon as you report things, then it like puts pressure on your employment. And I think you'd hope that they're an official broadcaster, 3AW.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not commenting on Caro's reports. She's big enough to look after that herself. but they make me very uncomfortable. That story is a big story and a significant one.
Yeah,
well, Damien Harvick should be speaking to the broadcast partners.
Absolutely, you should. They pay the big bucks, as do Triple M, as do Channel 7. They should be entitled to access to
They need to work that one out.
Yeah, for sure.
And then Richmond's good enough to work that out. Brendan Gale and Simon Matthews, their media boss, they can sort that out.
Yes, well, we'll be watching that space as well, because you can be prickly after games and behind the camera these days, Dimmer, so... We'll see how that one unfolds.
He's always good to me. Yeah. I like him. Fixture is the other big story this week. Tommy has bubbled away. Richmond and Collingwood on Sunday at twilight. That's an interesting story. It shows at the moment.
Put on the bench.
The AFL's attitude towards both those clubs. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, cop that, Collingwood and Richmond. That'll just about do us for today. That's been a longer edition, but there's obviously been plenty to go through after what unfolded yesterday. We'll be back on Friday for another edition, and stay tuned to the Triple M socials for all your latest.
Thanks, Tommy.